You're listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominey. Out Loud Bible Project is on a mission to read the entire Bible out loud in a conversational and approachable way, so you can recognize your part in this conversation between you and God.
This is the Out Loud Bible Project podcast. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for listening. So last episode, we saw the flood wipe out everybody on earth except Noah's family. So God, in a sense, pruned humanity's family tree, and now everyone will come from Noah's family. And now, family lineage and genealogies were more important to the cultures that we read about in the Bible than they are necessarily today. They kept careful records, they treasured them, they discussed them. Genealogy determined family land and entire regions, and it determined kingship and rights, and ultimately God promises a savior through certain family lines. So the Bible has some significant chunks of it dedicated to genealogies, and my pastor says all scripture is equally inspired, but not all is equally applicable, okay? And so in today's reading, we do have some portions of genealogy that, frankly, is difficult and boring to read, and unless you're listening to this in bed trying to fall asleep, you don't want to hear it any more than I want to read it. So I have a solution. Okay, introducing the Out Loud Bible Time Warp. So whenever we reach certain sections that are repetitive for a length of time without any new insights in them, we're going to time warp like this. This way we keep moving forward, having stuck on long sections of the Bible, making one sentence after four, and we don't actually get anything, so we can accomplish the goal of actually reading the entire Bible. Cool? All right, well, we're going to use this trick throughout the Old Testament, I'm sure, and trust me, I won't skip anything that has some insights that I think you'll find interesting. So it'll be great. So, and can I just say too that I hope you read your Bible yourself a little bit each day. And if you do come across sections like that, feel free to just skim them. Nothing's wrong with that, okay? Don't be legalistic about, well, I got to read it if it's in here. It's okay, just skim it, you know, and you'll see the way that it's formatted. If there's something in there that looks different, maybe a new insight there, you'll find it. But feel free to skim, nothing wrong with that. Whatever keeps you in the reading, don't let yourself be derailed just because you're bored by reading some genealogy or a repetitive section like that. Don't worry about that, all right? So today, that you'll see the Out Loud Bible Time Warp. Today, we're going to use that to get through most of chapters 10 and 11 here in Genesis, and then we're going to read through to the end of chapter 15. Now, this is the history of the generations of the sons of Noah and of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were... These are the families of the sons of Noah by their generations according to their nations. The nations divided from these in the earth after the flood. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. As they traveled east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they lived there. They said to one another, "Come, let's make bricks and burn them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches to the sky, and let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad on the surface of the whole earth." God came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. God said, "They are one people, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing will be withheld from them which they intend to do. Come, let's go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So God scattered them abroad from there on the surface of the earth. They stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there God confused the language of all the earth. From there, God scattered them abroad on the surface of the earth. This is the history of the generations of Shem. Terah lived 75 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran.
Now, this is the history of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldees, while his father Terah was still alive. Abram and Nahor married wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, who was also the father of Iscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. They went from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They came to Haran and lived there. The days of Terah were 205 years. Terah died in Haran. Now, God said to Abram, "Leave your country and your relatives and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who treats you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as God had told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's sons, all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they went to go into the land of Canaan. They entered into the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. God appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your offspring." He built an altar there to God who had appeared to him. He left from there to go to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to God and called on God's name. Abram traveled, still going on toward the south. There was a famine in the land. Abram went down to Egypt to live as a foreigner there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he had come near to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "See now, I know that you're a beautiful woman to look at. It will happen that when the Egyptians see you, they'll say, 'This is his wife,' and they'll kill me, but they'll save you alive. Please say that you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that my soul may live because of you." When Abram had come into Egypt, Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He dealt well with Abram for her sake. He had sheep, cattle, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. God afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that you've done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She's my sister,' so that I took her to be my wife? Now, therefore, see your wife, take her, and go your way." Pharaoh commanded men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that he had. Abram went up out of Egypt, he, his wife, all that he had had, and Lot with him, into the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. He went on his journeys from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. There, Abram called on God's name. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. The land was not able to bear them that they might live together, for their possessions were so great that they couldn't live together. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites lived in the land at the time. Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we're relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Please separate yourself from me. If you go to the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right hand, then I'll go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plains of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of God, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose the plain of Jordan for himself. Lot traveled east, and they separated themselves from one another. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, and Lot lived in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinners against God. God said to Abram after Lot was separated from him, "Now, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for I will give all the land which you see to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then your offspring may also be counted. Arise, walk through the land in its length and in its width, for I will give it to you." Abram moved his tent and came and lived by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to God. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, they made a war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, also called Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, also called the Salt Sea. They served Chedorlaomer for 12 years, and in the 13th year, they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him came and struck the Rephaim in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Shavakiriathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir to El-Paran, which is by the wilderness. They returned and came to En-Mishpat, also called Kadesh, and struck all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that lived in Hazazon-Tamar, the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, the king of Adma, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, also called Zoar, went out, and they set the battle in array against them in the valley of Siddim, against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against the five. Now, the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and some fell there. Those who remained fled to the hills. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food and went their way. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who lived in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. One who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew. At that time he lived by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner. They were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his relative was taken captive, he led out his 318 trained men, born in his house, and pursued as far as Dan. He divided himself against them by night, he and his servants, and struck them, and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. He brought back all the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the other people. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him at the valley of Sheva, that is, King's Valley. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Abram gave him a tenth of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and take the goods for yourself." Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand to God, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread nor a sandal strap nor anything that's yours, lest you should say I've made Abram rich. I will accept nothing from you except that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion." After these things, God's word came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, since I go childless, and he who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" Abram said, "Behold, you have given no children to me, and behold, one born in my house is my heir." Behold, God's word came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but he who will come out of your own body will be your heir." God brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the sky and count the stars if you're able to count them." He said to Abram, "So your offspring will be." He believed in God, who credited it to him for righteousness. He said to Abram, "I am God who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." He said, "Lord God, how will I know that I will inherit it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He brought him all these and divided them in the middle and laid each half opposite the other, but he didn't divide the birds. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses and Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. Now, terror and great darkness fell on him. He said to Abram, "Know for sure that your offspring will live as foreigners in a land that's not theirs and will serve them. They will afflict them 400 years. I will also judge that nation whom they will serve. Afterward, they will come out with great wealth, but you will go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, they will come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full." It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. In that day, God made a covenant with Abram, saying, "I have given this land to your offspring, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Abram, or Abraham as he's known later, is known as a hero of the faith. But you notice he was not superhuman. He had fears. He resorted to lying in order to save himself. He questioned God, but through everything, he had a relationship with God, and it had its ups and downs, but he kept an open communication with God, and God counted him as a friend. Don't feel like you have to be perfect before approaching God or to keep his favor. With just a little bit of faith, you're closer to God than you think. That's the Thinking Out Loud thought for today.
You've been listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominy. When you become a patron of Out Loud Bible Project, you help make the Bible accessible for people who desperately need to know they have a role in this conversation with God. To learn more, visit outloudbible.com and click Support This Project. Thanks for listening.